The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It is important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Him. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? I was calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective. My aim is to teach you how to do this. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org, or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to continue with my discussion of the ETI Bible version, the introduction to the writings from Matiyahu to Revelation, part 3, that being Matiyahu to Revelation being what you would potentially know as the New Testament. Overview. Nearly all translations of the so-called New Testament from Matiyahu, or incorrectly Matthew, to Revelation contain major errors with regard to keywords and concepts. I'm in the process of producing a rendering of these books that corrects all the errors that I know of, together with providing commentary on what I've learned. This broadcast continues to share the introduction that I've produced for this rendering, discussing all the major errors that have been corrected. This is part 3 of that discussion. We will continue discussion of the background to my rendering of the so-called New Testament. We'll look at the law, meaning mitzvot, the 630 Yehudai, incorrectly Jewish laws. Then we'll look at the law, meaning rules, principles, customs. Then we will note that the Bible means book in Greek, as in bibliography. And I'll qualify my rendering by noting that second-order details may not be exactly correct. I'll then point out that Yeshua was an Old Testament prophet, and that the set-apart spirit has been given throughout time. I'll stress that Yeshua is 100% human, not Yah in the flesh. And I will then advise that the base manuscript for the ETI version is the King James Version. We will then speak about receiving the set-apart, incorrectly, Holy Spirit. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So continuing with the introduction to the writings from Matiyahu to Revelation, part 3, nearly all translations of the so-called New Testament from Matiyahu, Matthew, to Revelation contain major errors with regard to key words and concepts. I'm in the process of reproducing a rendering of these books that corrects all the errors that I know of, together with providing commentary on what I've learned. This broadcast continues to share that introduction that I've produced for the rendering, discussing all the major errors that have been corrected. This continues the discussion in the two previous broadcasts and continues to look at the different legal frameworks, all referred to as law, in the so-called New Testament. Last week we looked at the Ten Commandments and the Torah. So this is a key point. I've made the point several times that English is a less rich language than Greek or Hebrew, particularly Hebrew. And so we find that in the English, in the so-called New Testament, the word law, L-A-W, is used in a number of completely different contexts, ranging from the Ten Commandments to the so-called Torah, and then on to the subjects that we're going to talk about tonight. Another meaning of the law is what in Hebrew terms are the mitzvot, M-I-T-Z-V-O-T, the 613 laws advocated by the Yehudai, the Jews, cited as law. I've deliberately called these the Yehudai laws. These are the laws which the scribes and Pharisees, which were offended that Yeshua was breaking. These laws are derived from the Torah and cover a wide diversity of rules that are enforced by the Yehudai with religious zeal. These laws are not prescribed by Yah, and a modern true believer in your relationship with Yah is not bound by them. They are broadly a series of amplifications and elaborations of the Ten Commandments, how to comply with the commandments. They are a useful reference, that is all. You can find the 613 mitzvots on the jmu.edu website in the Ducal Gallery section, exhibitions past 2018 to 2019, the 613 mitzvots. If you search on Google for, quote, the 613 mitzvot, close quotes, you should find them. You can have a look at them. They're all sorts of things, and really, that's not what Yah's about. Yah wants a relationship. He wants you to be his friend. He wants to talk to you. He wants to chat to you. He wants to be involved in your work. He wants to be involved in your family. He doesn't want you slavishly keeping 613 petty little laws. And then law, again, the word law, rules, principles, customs. There's another use of the word law by Shaw, Paul in Romans, and elsewhere relative to the war in his flesh. This relates to spiritual rules, principles, customs, striving. And then law equals Roman law. There are also instances where Roman law is cited. So what we have here, folks, is huge confusion. On the one hand, Yeshua says, I did not come to abolish the law, but to confirm the law. And there he's talking about the Ten Commandments. He says, not one jot or tittle of the Ten Commandments will pass away. And on the other hand, he deliberately and consciously breaks the 613 mitzvots and other Torah laws that are not ordained by Yah. So he's not sinning, he's not in error, it's the people who are attacking him, who are criticizing him, who are in error. And then, so I've done my best to make those different uses of the word law visible in the document that I've rendered. And it's really important to be aware of these differences, folks, because otherwise you get very confused. There are so-called Torah keepers who at some level follow the one that they call Messiah, Messiah, referring to Yeshua, who think that the 613 mitzvot are important. And they have a legalistic view instead of having relationship. Then understanding the difficult words of Yeshua. There are a significant number of instances in the books of the Good News, so-called gospel, reporting sayings of Yeshua where he uses sayings of that culture at that time which do not necessarily make much sense today, which are capable of being misunderstood. For example, he says in Luke 18:25, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle. And that sounds crazy until you realize that the eye of the needle was a physical narrow gate into Jerusalem at that time. It's not my intention to address these issues in this version. I have a different focus. However, I recommend the book Understanding the Difficult Words of Jesus, New Insights from a Hebraic Perspective. If you search for that on Amazon, you should find it. And it's useful contextual reading. Just read it once, just to get a sense of how some of these seemingly mysterious sayings actually had very simple, very practical explanations that Yeshua's audience at the time would have clearly understood. So part of what I'm about is to strip away the mystique of the Bible, the mystique of Yah. Yah is completely understandable. Yah created us to be his friends. He didn't create us to be in confusion and uncertainty and mysteriousness about him. He wants to be transparent with you. He wants to have relationship with you. He wants to talk to you about anything and everything in your life. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. He doesn't want you to not understand him. Then Bible means book in Greek, as in bibliography. There's a body of thinking that ascribes mystical significance to the name the Bible. This is misplaced. The word Bible is the English translation of the Greek word biblios, meaning book, as in words like bibliography, a list of books, or in Afrikaans, bibliotheek, a library, a collection of books. Thus, the Bible is simply the book, which is really quite meaningless. Better to refer to it as a collection of writings concerning the interaction of the Almighty Creator with human beings. I use Bible in this introduction at times and in my rendering of the Bible for convenience because it's such a well-known term and such a well-known connotation. But think about it, folks. There's a huge amount about the common English translations of the Bible, words like holy and Christ and so forth, which are actually meaningless English words. They have completely lost sight of the Hebrew original words. So, for example, holy, Kodesh in Hebrew, Kodesh or Kadosh, depending on different opinions as to how it's rendered, but which means set apart. When you refer to the Holy Spirit as the set-apart Spirit, you get a whole revelation that is lost with holy. Set-apart is the portion of the Spirit of Yah that is poured into a person when they come to belief. That's it. It's set-apart. Then in terms of my rendering, second-order details may not be exactly correct. In presenting the ETI version of the Bible, I'd like to stress that I focused on the 20% of the issues that I consider to be 80% of what is important. I'm time-constrained, preparing this version on the side while holding down a full-time job and running a business. So it is quite likely that there are detail issues and errors that you may identify. Please feel free to email me with suggestions for improvement. And on the other hand, I encourage you to overlook second-order points. In particular, where there are translation approximations in the King James Version English, I will in some cases have accepted these and worked with them rather than correcting them. For example, in some locations, Yah is also translated the Lord. I will not pick these up without a separate search, which time does not permit. There are also locations where El is translated God. The same observation applies. Perhaps once I've published the entire book, I'll have time and energy to do a second pass picking up these refinements. Time will tell. At present, I'm estimating 2 to 3 years for this project on top of my work commitments. folks. On the one hand, the Bible is a very small book. On the other hand, if you want to go through the entire Bible from from Bamidbar, Genesis, to Revelation, and correct all the wrong words in terms of names of people and so forth, it's a big book. A lot of work to do, folks, but I'm getting there slowly. Then I want to point out and stress that Yeshua was an Old Testament prophet, which is something that the vast majority, certainly Christians, completely lose sight of. In considering the writings about Yeshua, it is vital to understand that the new covenant in the blood of Yeshua was only consummated when he died on the stake. Accordingly, all that Yeshua did during his life on earth, the miracles, walking on water, raising the dead, rebuking the high priests, prophesying, Yah speaking through him, etc., were all done under the covenant of Moshe, the so-called Old Covenant. As such, all that he did could have been done by any other human being alive at that time, with the caveat that the spirit being that became Yeshua in the ovum in the fallopian tube of Miriam was the first spirit created by Yah and had worked alongside Yah throughout the creative process. As such, he was fully informed about the wiles of Satan, the errors and sins of the high priests, scribes, and Pharisees, the exact legal position, the exact requirements for what he was called to do, and the exact parameters and constraints governing his functioning on earth. He therefore operated with exceptional authority. Folks, it's really important to understand that Yeshua did what any other human being filled with the Spirit of Yah the same way that he was, could have done at that time, and in fact could have done any time from Adam. The tragedy is that Yah created us all to be like that. And sadly, almost nobody understands that, and at this moment there is not one single human being who is walking at that level, or there are a few people I know that I hope will soon be walking at that level. Then I want to stress that the set-apart spirit has been given throughout time. There's a widespread Christian misconception that the Holy Spirit, or set-apart spirit, was first given at Pentecost, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. This is not so. Consider Psalm 51:11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy set-apart spirit from me. So hundreds of years before Yeshua, David had the set-apart spirit. It turns out that the set-apart spirit has been given to anointed believers throughout all of recorded human history when they truly believed. This is the anointing given by the prophets, etc. Consider also Yehuchanan, incorrectly John 20:22, and when he, Yeshua, had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the set-apart spirit, Holy Ghost. This is the under the old covenant, well before Pentecost. The reality is that at the time of Yeshua, just about everyone had forgotten about the set-apart spirit, so it was almost unknown. As with so many things, Yeshua restored knowledge and did not introduce new knowledge. A key part of his ministry was to restore and elaborate and teach those who followed him principles that had been long forgotten. Also important to recognize that Yeshua was not anointed until Yehuchanan the immerser, John the Baptist, immersed him in the Jordan River, and as he came up, the Spirit of Yah descended on him like a dove. At that moment, he went from being Yeshua to Yeshua the anointed of Yah, or if you like, from Jesus to being Jesus Christ. It was the Spirit of Yah in Yeshua that performed the miracles. It was not Yeshua who performed the miracles. A big, big difference. So I've made this point now, a moment ago. Yeshua is 100% human. He is not Yah in the flesh. If you read the notes, or if you listen to what I've just shared attentively, and if you look also at the rendering of Matiyahu and subsequent Good News books, you will realize that Yeshua was and is 100% human, and is not Yah in the flesh. In other words, Jesus is not God. In summary, The creative miracle in the fallopian tube of Miriam that formed the embryo of Yeshua was less of a miracle than the creation of Adam from the dust of the earth and the creation of Chava, Eve, from a rib of Adam. See Matiyahu 1:18 elsewhere. Secondly, the Spirit of Yah came upon Yeshua when he was immersed, baptized by Yehuchanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, in exactly the same way it came upon other human beings who were immersed. See Matiyahu 3:16 and elsewhere. Then Yeshua fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in order to enter into power ministry, in the same way that is required of any human being, Matiyahu 4:2. Folks, that is so important. Yeshua went into the wilderness without food for 40 days, and at the end of that, he came out with a power anointing. A 40-day water-only fast is prerequisite to operate in the power gifts, and if you go and do a 40-day fast with the right attitude, you will come out of that with power. Then the works that Yeshua performed can be performed by any anointed spiritual believer who's deeply connected with Yah, deeply set apart, sanctified, and living free of sin, and who has a deep revelation of their authority. The only reason Yeshua's ministry was exceptional was that no other human being had achieved that level of set apartness since the time of Moshe. One aspect of Yeshua that was out of the ordinary was that the Spirit came into Yeshua at the moment of conception, was the first Spirit created by Yah at the start of the creative process, and who had operated alongside Yah as the chief operating officer or chief of staff throughout the creative process. He was therefore highly knowledgeable of the matters of the world and the behavior of the satanic and demonic realm. It is the wrong translation of the Lord, God, and Christ discussed previously that lead to the wrong belief that Jesus is God. These wrong translations are corrected in this version. This is discussed in detail in the article 2023-0101, Can You Prove That Jesus Is God? On the website, and various other articles on the website cited in that article. So folks, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that there is a very deep-seated fundamental misconception in Christianity that Jesus is God. That came about soon after his resurrection. People around him did not understand what had happened. They did not understand the anointing. They thought that he operated because he was supernatural, not that the Spirit of Yah was supernatural. And they ascribed divinity to him and said that the fact that he was performing these miracles, the fact that he was resurrected, meant that he was Yah in the flesh. That permeated into the Greek translations and has permeated Christianity ever since. When Yah directed Muhammad to bring correction, the two areas that Muhammad was told to bring correction to the Christians was in worshipping Yeshua and worshipping the Bible. They're both sins, folks. Breaks the second commandment. They have no do not worship any man-made thing. Worshipping Yeshua breaks the first commandment. Yah, the eternally self-existing, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones before him. So if you are a Christian who's worshiping Jesus, worshiping the Bible as the living word of God, I'm sorry, you're in serious error. And if you don't clean up and sort that out before you die, you're going to spend some significant time in hell paying the price for your unrepented sin. So it's really much better to clean that up now rather than wait until you die and come before the judgment seat. So then receiving the set apart Holy Spirit, if you're a committed believer and you've never been filled with the Spirit of Yah, immerse yourself in a clean body of water, and as you go under, pray, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Thereafter, give thanks for receiving the Spirit and sing songs relating to infilling with the Spirit. You may have a supernatural experience when you immerse, but this is not universal. So, it's preferable that an anointed believer immerse you, but it is not essential. If you are the only person in your area who is seeking deeper connection with Yah, then you just go and immerse yourself in the nearest swimming pool, the nearest lake, the nearest river, the nearest sea, and failing that with a bath in your bathroom. Yah is not difficult. If you ask him to fill you, he'll fill you. He wants to fill you. There are about 50 songs on the website that you can download. Several of those, quite a few of them, in fact, speak to receiving the Spirit. Just say, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon me. I thank you that you fill me with your Spirit. Father, I love you. Father, I'm committed to you. Father, I want to do your work. I want to become your servant. And keep praying that every day. Keep singing those songs every day. Worship for an hour or 2 hours every day. Raise your hands to him. Ask him to fill you. And he will fill you progressively more and more as you become accustomed. He can't just dump his Spirit on you because you would collapse. You wouldn't be able to handle it. You've got to take it incrementally. But ask and you shall receive. Absolutely, folks. This is not some obscure, complex thing where you need some body else to officiate on your behalf. Yah wants a relationship with you. He will meet you wherever you are. If you don't yet believe, then just say, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I believe that you exist. I accept you as my creator and my mighty one. Amen. That's it. I'll give you a longer prayer in a minute, but basically that's all it takes to become a believer. Then Jesus means Hail Zeus and is a pagan, that is a demonic name. His name is Yahushua. Previous sections have clearly evidenced that the man commonly called Jesus was and is 100% human, and that he accomplished what he accomplished on earth through the anointing of the set apart spirit of the Almighty Creator, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. I've also evidenced that this man's true name is Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. That's Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A. Yah is salvation. Or if you like, Yah is Yeshua. There are a whole lot of people who think that his name is Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A. It's not. Yeshua means salvation. Yahushua means Yah is salvation, or Yah is Yeshua. To compound the widespread misunderstanding with regard to the person of Yeshua and his true name, it turns out that Jesus is an Anglicization of Aesis, which in turn is derived from the ancient Greek Aesis, which means Hail Zeus. Zeus is a pagan, that is, then demonic deity of ancient Greece. And it is an insult to refer to the most powerful created being in the universe as Jesus. His name is Yahushua. Please, if you're still calling him Jesus or Yeshua, stop it. You're in sin. Serious sin. You're taking the name of Yah in vain. This is discussed in detail in the article 2022-1203. Jesus means Hail Zeus and is a pagan, that is, demonic name. His name is Yahushua. I encourage you to use the correct name in future. Then the incomplete rendering of the books from Matiyahu to Revelation for convenience up to 1 Timothy as of today. I'm working systematically from Matiyahu through to Revelation. It takes significant time to render each chapter to the standard I desire. And I estimate that the entire project will take me about 6 to 12 months. That's just on the so-called New Testament. working primarily at weekends as I have a new business to build during the week. My method of working is as I substitute King James Version names, in other words, with words that I consider more accurate, is to do a forward global search and replace with the result that while I have still much to do, I have done an effective first pass through the entire collection. For this reason, I've decided to share the entire volume with the caveat that those books and chapters that I've not processed in detail may contain limited inaccuracies. In particular, I refer you to the discussion of Lord above. I've done a manual global research and replace so that I have, as best I can, replaced Lord with Yah the Eternally Self-Existing or Adonai as I deem appropriate from the context and what I understand each instance to be communicating. I anticipate that as I read each passage and review and render it in detail, I may make a few adjustments. So in reading these sections, please keep this in mind. Folks, this is quite a big project. I've been at it for nearly a year. I've taken some side journeys. I did a rendering of The Final Quest, which is an extremely important book, which if you haven't read it, I encourage you to do it. It's on the website, also under the ETI Bible Version page. And the reason it's there is because I consider it to have the same standing as the Bible in terms of spiritual matters today. So, regarding Lord, to a lesser extent, the same comments apply to God, which may refer to Yah, Mighty One in capital letters, or Almighty, or in lowercase, God or Mighty One. Again, I've done a manual global search and replace, and there may be instances which I will change during detailed rendering. The situation with regard to Christ is more complex because of the very confusing use of this word in the following context. Number one, Jesus Christ, which accurately renders as Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, or Yeshua, anointed with the set apart spirit of Yah. Christ Jesus, which accurately renders as the anointing that was upon Yeshua, or the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. And then Christ on its own, which is where the greatest confusion arises. In some locations, this correctly renders as the anointed one, referring to Yeshua, while in other locations, it correctly renders as the anointing of the set apart Spirit of Yah, referring to Yah. So the key thing there is Christ is not equal to Jesus. The whole of Christianity is postulated on that lie. Christianity is the belief in Christ equals Jesus. The correct English version of the word translated Christ would be the anointed ones of the Spirit of Yah. Christ refers to Yah. Christ refers to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. Sometimes it is used, as I said a minute ago, as the anointed one referring to Yeshua. But that is by no means the majority of instances. So if you think that Jesus and Christ are synonymous and that you can talk about Christ in the way that most people do, you are seriously mistaken. You're sinning. Please stop it. It will be apparent from the above that a simple manual global search and replace will not adequately address these nuances. I've done what I can, but I expect there will be verses which I've not manually rendered, where the current wording may be inaccurate. Note also that some versions of the Bible, including the version of the Scriptures, translate Christ as Messiah, the expected king of the Yehudai, who is going to establish a new earthly kingdom. This expectation was incorrect, just as current expectations that Jesus is coming soon are incorrect today. This wrong definition of a Messiah as distinct from the anointed one, from one anointed with the Spirit of Yah, or anointed one, was a major factor in why the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees rejected Yeshua and called for his death. Folks, I hope you're starting to understand what I'm saying. I've said repeatedly over the years that the Bible is a useful history book, but it is corrupted in just about every English translation by the issues that I've been discussing. And since a very substantial number of versions of the Bible in other languages are translated based on the English, those errors have been compounded and replicated. What I am seeking to do with this version is to sort out those seemingly quite small issues that have massive ramifications. So I encourage you to go to the website, up near the top of the website, ETI Bible version. There are PDF and Word versions you can download, print, read. There are also a few locations in the Bible where I've gone ahead and added some commentary because I considered them so important that this was warranted. These passages are Revelation 21-3, relating to Satan being cast into the pit for 1,000 years, such that Yeshua can only return in around May 3003 or later. Revelation 24, relating to believers reigning on earth with the set-apart spirit of the Almighty to guide them for 1,000 years while Satan is in the pit to regain authority on earth so that Yeshua can return in victory. Revelation 21:7, relating to those who overcome being granted a position of great esteem in heaven with Yah for eternity. And Revelation 21:8, relating to believers spending time in hell for unrepented sin when they die. To find these passages, search for the name of the book and then for the chapter in all caps, e.g. chapter 6. So, there are numerous points. I've rendered from Matiyahu Matthew to 2 Thessalonians. And particularly in the books of the Good News, the Gospels and Acts, I've put in a lot of correcting notes, a lot of explanatory notes. There's a lot of information there that if you are someone who thinks that the Bible is an important reference, you should really be reading that version. It's all done with footnotes. The incorrect words have been substituted with the correct words. I've been quite thorough in going through those books up to, as I say, 2 Thessalonians. And I encourage you to start reading there from Matiyahu. I plan next week to start reading Matiyahu with my footnotes, and we'll see how that goes as to whether I go through the whole of Matiyahu. It's quite a sizable, chunky book, which will take some significant time to go through on these broadcasts, but I'll see how that goes. There's some key pieces that will come out in the first couple of episodes on that one. And it's important to understand, folks, that fundamentally the basics of both the so-called Old and New Testaments are technically correct once you've corrected the wrong words. There's something like 4,000 instances of Yah that I've put into the so-called New Testament, about 11,000 instances of Yah in the so-called Old Testament, where I've picked up the name Yah in all sorts of people's names. So, for example, Yahuchanan, John, means Yah has graced, which speaks of the grace that Yahuchanan the Immerser introduced. Yahushua, Yah is salvation. You have Jesus, which is meaningless, and you have Yahushua, Yah is salvation, which is rich in meaning. The one ignores Yah, the other has Yah. Elijah, Eli, Yah. Yah is my beloved mighty one, or my beloved mighty one is Yah, if you prefer. There are about 100 names containing Yah that I've reestablished, particularly in the so-called Old Testament. So in conclusion, it is my hope that you will find the ETI version illuminating and that you will gain enduring eternal value from reading it. Please feel free to email me on jamesetiversion@etimin.org with questions and suggestions for improvement. I hope you find it useful. I encourage you to start reading it. I then want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator, I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator today. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be an integral part of your life. He wants to dialogue with you. He wants to share ideas with you. He wants to participate in your work and your family and in everything. If you have now, through this message, come to belief in Yah, if you realize that you've been believing that Jesus is God, that you've been saved by Jesus, which is a lie, please pray along the following lines. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I now believe that you exist. I confess my sin of unbelief, and I repent of my unbelief, and I ask you to forgive my sin. I now commit my life to you, and I ask you to take me by the hand and lead me into deep relationship with you. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit and to change me and help me to become the person you want me to become. I ask you to help me find people who can help me and help me find books, websites, articles, and other resources that will help me. I ask you to show me what I can do to actively serve you and lead others to deep personal relationship with you. I thank you for saving me. There's a period of 8 days from sincerely coming to belief and praying a prayer like that for the first time, during which there is extreme grace to help you. See the article, Critical Actions on First Belief, for actions you should take immediately. Drop me an email at james@endtimeissueministries.org so I can help you, pray with you, counsel you, etc. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Folks, if you have just prayed that prayer, this broadcast will be on YouTube in an hour or so after it's broadcast. It'll also be on LinkedIn, also shortly after broadcast. I will be publishing it on my website on Saturday morning, Yah willing, and it'll also be on Dropbox and on the ministry YouTube channel. So you can get the recording, and if you want to get this prayer, if you didn't pray it now, you don't have to follow slavishly. The key things are, Father Yah, I believe you exist. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I commit my life to you. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to find people, books, etc. Ask me to show you what I can do. Thank you for saving me. That's it. That's basically the steps that you should follow if you have never committed your life to Yah. There's much on the website. Please do email me, james@endtimeissueministries.org. So in closing, thank you for listening. Send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. If you've been listening to me for a few weeks, this is probably the point at which you'll drop off. So I'm going to say to you good night. If this is your first or second time on the channel and this is the first or second time that you've heard me speak, I'd ask you please to hang on for a couple more minutes so that I can share a bit more with you about myself and about the ministry and how that can help you. I want to stress, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be the most outright Satanist right now. It doesn't matter. Yah wants you to become his friend. Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, Yoga, Hindu, whoever, African, Asian, Indian, European, Caucasian, American, whatever, rich or poor, tall or short, thin or fat. It doesn't matter. Yah wants you to become his friend. And he wants to be your friend. Father, I ask you to help me to become your friend. That's all it takes. And then do what you find to do. Email me. I'll help you. I'd be delighted to hear from you. Thank you so much. For those who are leaving, good night. For those who are not, please hang on. In closing, who am I? I'm James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. There's lots of information there. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translations is on the ETI Bible version page. The recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, search on Google for, quote, relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are about four podcast websites with the back issues. They're also on the website. Transcripts are on the transcripts of broadcast page together with recordings. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019, formatted for printing with PDF covers, are on the Books for Printing webpage. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the mailing list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's a huge amount of information on the website, answers to a lot of your questions. Please make use of it. Thank you so much for joining me. Good night.
Father, I come to you.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you what you understand about the Bible and if you're aware that there are major translation errors in just about every translation of the Bible. If you're not aware of this, then please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com internet radio or Talk4TV.com internet TV. Also visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. Thank you so much.